My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh my God, there's so much happening. We have NCAA tournament action on right now. It started. I hope everybody got their brackets filled out. We'll keep you updated loosely on those games. We can't legally, like, do play-by-play or anything. But Duquesne up on BYU, Michigan State up on Mississippi State, because of course they are. If you bet against Tom Izzo, that is a you problem. The Sacramento Kings throttled the Raptors last night, 123-89. We'll dive into that. Good little win.
It was a good little win.
I don't have a lot on it, to be totally honest.
No,
we'll have six quick thoughts coming up, yeah. But I don't have any.
You took a frying pan to somebody. Good for you.
Yeah, it was really nice watching it, and halfway through the third quarter, going, all right,
six quick thoughts is already written.
Yeah, this is done. I'm going to keep it on.
Yeah.
But just in case things get weird, and things almost did get weird, like 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, I think the Raptors got it to like 21.
Shameful.
It didn't reach the point where I went, oh no. But 21 with 6 minutes to go, that's a stop, another three. Now it's 18. And now it's not dicey, but probably a little closer than you wanted it to get.
Those are the games where if it's the other way, if the Kings are getting beat like that, I always like to tweet out Kevin Huerter 3-pointer. Kings down. Kings cut the lead to 21.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Only seven stops and seven threes away.
Yeah,
from being right back.
I like to be sarcastic and snarky in those moments. Luckily, we didn't have any of that.
No, Kings just blew out a just bad, bad version of the Toronto Raptors. I want to do one thing on this game and then get to this ridiculous Shohei Ohtani story.
Yeah.
For a bit. You have down here that the Kings improved to 35-4 when scoring 120 or more points. What's your takeaway with that?
Science. Like, score 120, you win.
Okay.
Like, I mean, it's...
Scoring more points better than scoring less points?
It's pretty simple formula. Score 120, you win. Don't score 120, you don't win.
Yeah, I would love to look at what that is around the league, because I bet a team like Washington... Who the Kings face tonight?
Ooh.
Doesn't win a lot when they score 120.
No, I mean,
give
I think
up so many points.
The reverse though is, what are they? 5-24, something like that.
Yeah, that's wild.
When they don't score 120,
so wild.
So that's, you know, it's not like we're just putting up 35-4, and this team is, you know, like 40-11 on the season.
Right.
So it's not that big of a disparity.
Yeah.
It's a huge disparity.
Yeah. All right, we'll jump in a little deeper into Kings Raptors with six quick thoughts, and I got a couple other kind of big picture things I want to talk about with the Kings. But I don't know if anybody followed the Shohei Ohtani story that broke yesterday. The short of it is the Dodgers fired Shohei's interpreter, Mitsuhara. He was fired for, quote, massive theft of Shohei Ohtani's money, about $4.5 million, to pay gambling debts to an offshore sports book. Now, the story itself is wild because Mitsuhara was under this sports book that he was betting with is under investigation. And Mitsuhara got caught up in it. So he sat down with ESPN for a 90-minute interview where he laid out his side of the story. And Shohei Ohtani's there. And Shohei doesn't speak a ton of English.
Mm-hmm.
But he was catching enough of the conversation to understand that something was off. And Mitsuhara was laying it out like, Shohei loaned me this money. He loaned me this $4.5 million to pay off my gambling debts. $4.5 million in gambling debts. That's so much losing.
That's a lot of prize picks.
So much losing.
I mean, that's like you did like 46 picks a night and just, no, I'm just messing.
The quote here from Mitsuhara, I'm terrible at gambling. Never going to do it again. Never won any money. I mean, I dug myself a hole and it kept on getting bigger and it meant I had to bet bigger to get out of it and just kept on losing. It's like a snowball effect.
Oh, he knew snowball effect. He knew snowball effect.
Yeah, Mitsuhara knows.
Oh, he does know.
I mean, that's a quote from ESPN. That's a wild ass quote. And that is the reason that gambling is dangerous. Like, I can bet $100. Oh, shoot, I lost $100. Well, now I need to bet $200.
To make up for the $100 I lost.
That's not how this goes at all, dude. You have a problem, sir. Seek help.
That's right.
But so. Shohei, over the course of this conversation, picks up enough to go, this isn't right. Brings in a separate interpreter to clue him in on what's going on. And as ESPN was going to publish this story, Ohtani's people call ESPN and go, no. This was a massive theft. This was not Shohei out of the kindness of his heart giving the interpreter $4.5 million to pay off his gambling debts. This was the interpreter stealing. The interpreter, by the way, this isn't some new guy that the Dodgers were like, yeah, hey, here's your dude. He's been with Shohei since he got to the U.S.
Wow.
They've been around. They've been tight.
What a horrible violation of trust.
Just brutal, dude.
Yeah. I mean, especially because you're trusting someone with so much of your life because you don't understand what people are saying.
Right.
You know, he's like integral to everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely brutal. Now, I want to make sure that this is all on the up and up.
Sure.
Plus, I love that they call it massive theft. Like, these things actually have like legal terms they could have used.
Well, massive theft. It massive just gets theft. It out into the public.
It sounds so like this a good term. Let's go with massive theft.
Just, there's so many layers to this that make it interesting. One is just, like you said, that violation of trust. That's crazy in and of itself. I would watch that. This thing is what I watch a documentary about on a weekend where I read the Netflix description. I'm like, dang, interpreter stole $4.5 million from baseball player. What? I'm in. So that by itself is fascinating, but it doesn't sound like, and Mitsuhara has since come clean and been like, this is all me. This is all my fault. Like, I'm ready to accept the consequences. He said that in his ESPN story.
He's like literally going to prison.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean.
I can't imagine why he wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, what was he betting on?
So that's another thing. So there's a couple of other layers to this. Immediately, obviously, everybody goes, Shohei interpreter betting. Shohei was throwing games. That's why the Angels sucked. He won two MVPs. It was not
the case. And you're right. He's the reason the Angels suck.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're right. That's it. You found it.
Somewhere Artie Moreno's like, yeah, that's what it was.
That's it.
No, but there's that immediate jump, but I don't think that's necessarily the case. He said that he never bet on baseball, and the reason he went to this offshore book is because sports betting is not legal in California.
Okay.
So there's a lot of like international soccer and there was another sport in there, but he said he never bet on baseball. There's meetings every year in spring training not to bet on baseball, da 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 da. So he said he never did that. The thing here, though, is it opens the door just enough to get a glimpse of the potential. I personally, based on everything we know, don't believe Shohei has any involvement, had any, or has any involvement with this. I genuinely think he got kind of bamboozled here by his interpreter, who had access to his bank accounts and took money.
He wouldn't be the first.
And sidebar, it would be so cool to be so rich to not notice $4.5 million missing from your bank account. I got to tell you.
Well, I mean, he is so rich that he was able to defer like almost all of his salary.
Yes.
Until he retires.
He is, I was reading this at Sportico yesterday. Shohei is making $2 million this year and will be the highest paid player in baseball because of endorsements.
Mm.
He's going to make $63 million just in endorsements.
Oh, so he's a new Michael Jordan of Major League Baseball.
Yes. He's just the man. So,
wow.
I don't think, but it opens the door wide enough to show us the potential dangers of the influx of gambling into sports.
Oh yeah, it's everywhere.
If it was the case, I don't think it is, but let's go to the universe where it is. If it was the case that Shohei was involved in this, and that Shohei did even bet on the Angels, and he got caught, baseball would collapse, dude.
Yeah, this would be bad.
You don't recover. This is the international superstar of superstars. People watch baseball me and my wife, big Disneyland people, went down to Disneyland, took an extra day down there just to go watch Shohei Ohtani play.
Mm.
If you go to an Angels game, it is Shohei jersey, Shohei jersey, Shohei jersey. He takes his last at bat. People are out of there, dude. Like that was the kind of vibe. This dude is it. If it was the case that I genuinely don't know how the sport would ever recover from that.
Yeah, it would be jarring, and it would just break so many ties with globally. It would just like snap ties. Like this, I don't know. It's horrible because you hope that everybody's on the up and up, but
right.
Let's be honest. Like it's everywhere in every sport now. I mean, Bickerstaff was complaining that, you know, he's had threats because of parlays and stuff.
That's just
like
nuts.
It's just wild. And like, look, we're guys that do Prize Picks, right?
Love Prize Picks.
And we have sponsorship deals and everything else. Like, it's something that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are things that like people want to get on me for doing. It's like, okay, look, the NBA has literally an agreement with half of these
right,
like whether it's not Prize Picks, but like the betting like world, they have
sure different like, sports
endorsement deals themselves.
Yes. Yes,
so you can't tell me I can't do it, and I'm not like going into a locker room saying, "Hey, Darren, man, I really need you to get 1.5 steals."
Yeah, it's
more
not
than 1.5 steals tonight.
Yeah,
that's not something that we're doing.
No. No, not super high stakes. And that's it. I don't, there's phone numbers you can call if you have that kind of problem.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine ever being so deep in it that I'm going to go threaten a person over it. Mm. Or talk to a player or coach about it in a media or non-media capacity.
Oh, yeah.
Like that is my, I've never lost a parlay and been like, or lost a Prize Picks entry because Steph Curry missed a three, and I'm like, oh, Steph, like, nope, I should have made the different pick.
I hate you now,
I did
Steph.
The wrong pick. Like, this is my fault. Anyways, it's a whole thing. Speaking of the Warriors, really quick, fun note from their game last night. This guy named Pat Spencer scored his first NBA bucket in garbage time of the Warriors, went over the Grizzlies.
Yep.
He had a dunk. The quirk here, not only was it his first NBA bucket, shout out to him, he wears number 61.
Oh, that's wild.
So I went, how many guys in NBA history have scored a point and worn number 61. It turns out it's three, and the last one to do it was Dave Piontek. Piontek? Piontek?
You got me.
Piontek of the Cincinnati Royals in 1963.
Oh, that's
Pat
wild.
Spencer, the first number 61 to score a point in the NBA in, what is that, 61 years.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's just a fun, I thought that was a fun thing. I love uniform number tidbits.
I have this hilarious thought that popped into my head earlier. We got to go to break, so.
We do.
But it was the Golden State Warriors as the Golden Girls. And it very quickly formed in my head, and I think it's funny.
We can flesh that bit out.
We can.
We'll take a look. All right. We'll also take a look at the Kings' dominant win over the Raptors last night, 123-89. Up in the six, we will talk about that, and we will have a Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game for you, giving you a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and a chance to win a Sacramento Kings jersey. All of that and more coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I just hit the little rejoin a little sooner, but I was really feeling the song.
I like it too.
Boombayah by Blackpink. Check it out, guys.
Yeah.
Kind of fire. shout out to Will Z, willzstats.com. We were asking about earlier, because you noted on the rundown, the Kings are 35-4 when scoring 120 or more points.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to know what that was relative to the rest of the league. That's a 897 winning percentage. What is that? You know, it's fifth in the league, behind Dallas at 28-3, Denver 21-2, Boston 32-3, and the Los Angeles Clippers at 25-2.
Mm.
Washington, by the way, 4-16.
Yeah. I mean, and the league wants to cut down on scoring, and some of these teams are like, yeah, we'll pass. No, scoring, yeah,
we're
scoring,
keep
is,
scoring.
Scoring is good. Scoring is good.
There's a level of physicality required to bring scoring down.
Yes.
That some teams are just not going to play with.
Yeah.
Like, nah.
Some teams are like, no, we're good. We're good.
Let's jump into the Kings' dominant 123-89 win over the Raptors last night with James Hamm. Six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings
up.
Insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Yeah, here they are. Could be sponsored by you. Hey, Rich, if you want a sweatshirt, get Six Quick Thoughts sponsored.
Is he listening?
He's not listening.
Of course he's not.
That's fine. No, he's chopping it up. He's being a good employee hanging out with her.
You think?
Oh, he's hanging out with the boss man. That's why. Oh, man.
Oh, we got Aaron out there.
Aaron's out there. All right. Six quick thoughts. Could be sponsored by you. Reach out if you would like to sponsor this segment. James, what is your first quick thought?
Found a shot. De'Aaron Fox looks confident. Was it looked confident.
Here we go.
With his jumper from the opening tip. He started in the mid-range, worked from downtown. He's Kings leading scorer, 20 points, 3 of 7 from the field. 3 of 7 from three-point range, 5 assists. Good game, good start, good energy from De'Aaron Fox. Of course, he didn't play a lot of minutes. That's good stuff.
Yeah, when he's knocking down a three, man, he's really hard to stop. We've seen his numbers kind of go up and down a little bit on the season. He's down to 36.7%, but that's still on this level of volume a career high. He was at 37.1 in his second year, but he was taking three a game.
Yeah.
This year, he's 7.5 a game, 36.7%. And yeah, if he's going to knock him down like he did last night, tough player to stop.
Definitely.
Number two.
Kentucky connection. With Fox firing away, Malik Monk came off the bench and matched the energy. He put up 17 points, 6 of 12 shooting. He's having a career year, getting better each and every game as the season winds down. And that came in limited minutes as well. All these guys, you know, he played 19 minutes and 42 seconds, scored 17 points. Pretty healthy night for Malik Monk.
Yeah, man. Just continues this string of really, really impactful play off the bench. What I need is for this to continue into and through the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
There can't be this wall where we're talking every night, like, hey, Malik only had 5 last night. Malik had 6 last night, but he did have 4 assists. Like, no, man, I need this level of Malik Monk. If the Kings are going to peak at the right time, it has to be with Monk out in front.
Well, that, and if you make it to the postseason, you might be the only team in the Western Conference with a player like him. You know, a guy who goes out there, like Norman Powell scores, but most of Norman Powell's shots are off of other people's draw and kick. Like, he's a knockdown three-point shooter. what Malik Monk brings to the table, if you have a 27-point-per-game scorer and another guy who attacks like this mm-hmm. coming off the bench, mm-hmm. I don't think there's another team in the West that has it.
No, I'm trying to think of any team in basketball that has a player like him off the bench. You know, you have your Jordan Clarksons.
Yeah.
He's a really, really good player. But just a second point guard who can go get you 30, and go get you 40, but who also can give you 17 and 8.
Yeah.
That's really, really valuable and just gives Mike Brown a lot of flexibility in how he wants to play against the second unit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good. Really good stuff from Malik Monk. Number three.
Another double-double. Another triple-double.
No. Oh.
Domantas Sabonis avoided playing big minutes. He keyed in at 27 minutes and 34 seconds, finished with 13 points, 10 assists, 17 rebounds. His rebounding was off the charts. And so, like, look, I don't care. He only shot 4 of 7 from the field. The Kings didn't need him to be that guy. This was a really, really good, like, get-in, get-out game for Sabonis.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add. This is just kind of the norm now.
Yeah, isn't it wild?
Number four.
Number four, solid pairing. Harrison Barnes and Keegan Murray both brought something to the table. They combined to go for 26 points and 10 rebounds. Someone in the chat did point out that I combined rebounds, which is funny because Keegan Murray had 8 rebounds and Harrison Barnes had 2.
But me, Keegan Murray, and Harrison Barnes combined for 10 rebounds last night. I thought I did a great job on the glass. Thanks.
Yeah, I would also point out that Harrison Barnes had 16 points and Keegan Murray only had 10, which is something we'll get to later, I think. But yeah, they were good. And again, 19 minutes for Barnes, 31 minutes for Keegan Murray. You were able to limit minutes.
Yeah. I want to talk about Keegan Murray a little bit, but overall, good game for those two. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you're seeing both of them thrive with Keon Ellis in the starting lineup.
Mm.
That continues to kind of be a theme.
Okay. I fully agree.
Number five.
Thief.
No.
Yes.
Oh.
Keon Ellis improved to 7-0 as a starter for the Kings, posting 6 points, 2 assists, and a career-high tying 4 steals in 25 minutes. With Kevin Herter sidelined with a dislocated shoulder, Ellis Island is in full effect.
Yeah, it sure is. Shocking that he starts and the Kings finally throttle a bad team. Mm. I, for one, am flabbergasted, flummoxed. I cannot believe that this is happening. Wow. What an amazing thing. And to back up your 5 block game with a 4 steal game.
Solid. Solid.
Come on, bro.
I sense sarcasm in your voice, Kyle.
What?
I sense sarcasm.
No.
Sarcasm.
Number 6.
Brought the energy. Chris Duarte is getting another look with Herter out and seems to be settling in. Kyle called this yesterday. He hit some shots and then played well with the extra time in the second half. Finished with 14 points. Solid defense. He is loving the new NBA you can foul anybody rule.
Dude, he's thriving.
Thriving in the foul anybody and not get called rule.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was always going to be that in the postseason.
Of course.
It was always going to, and now if you're adding Chris Duarte to your rotation and he can credibly give you he played 19 minutes last night. Let's say he would have played 15 without garbage time. I think that's just enormous for this rotation that we've been going, man, you need somebody who can kind of defend. I can knock down a 3. Okay, Chris Duarte is not 6'9", but he's fine. And I thought he was more than adequate last night. He looks more confident in what he's doing offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what he does defensively kind of drives him on the other end. And yeah, man, he's a knockdown 3-point shooter. Teams have to guard him. He did a really nice job with it. He had a putback last night where he snuck in for a quick rebound after a miss, just being in the right spot, playing good defense. This Chris Duarte is the player they were hoping to get all year. It's taken him a minute, taken a while to come around, taken a little adjustment from the officials. Maybe. Mm. But if you can get in a playoff series, if you can get 12 good minutes a night from Chris Duarte, I think that makes the Kings' defense a lot better.
Oh, I totally agree. And I also would point out that this is just the style of player he is.
Yep.
You need him. And he's healthy.
It's a dog.
He's figuring it out.
Yep. Chris Duarte is going to be our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. Congratulations to him. You mentioned it. 5 of 6 from the field, 2 of 2 from beyond the arc, 14 points, 5 boards, a couple assists, just 1 turnover. He was a plus 14 in 19 minutes off the bench. Really, really effective game for him. So he is our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. Enter to win now at Jiffy Lube. $100 gift certificate and your chance to win a Sacramento Kings jersey, which we'll be giving away at the end of this month. Get to ESPN1320.com. The Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page is right there at the front. You're going to click on that and just enter the code word nice and easy. It's Duarte, D-U-A-R-T-E. Use that code Duarte to enter to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and enter to win a Sacramento Kings jersey, courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube. All right, we got to run. We're going to talk Kings Wizards. We're going to talk Kevin Huerter injury. We'll take a look around the NBA. We got a ton of stuff coming up here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James. I'm Kyle. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Let's talk real quick. We were having a conversation during the break about Kevin Huerter. And if you want in on the conversations going on during the breaks, tap into youtube.com/ESPN1320. Or twitch.tv/ESPN1320. When we go to break on the radio or the Odyssey app, or maybe you're listening on the ESPN 1320 website, when we go to break there, we just talk it up during the break on ESPN 1320 TV. So get over there, hang out in the chatty house. It's good vibes over there.
I agree, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes they change their names. I don't know.
While we're doing housekeeping, let me just, I typically, so Charlie, our boss, does a wonderful job of making sure that we know what's coming up on our station so we can promote it. I usually try to pick a couple of those things. It's usually like a few things. I try and pick one or two, but it's March Madness, which means you probably have a bracket and we have so many things coming up. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, we've got first round games. 9 o'clock a.m. on 102.5 FM HD2, the Bet Sacramento. We will also have another game immediately after that at 11.30 a.m. on 102.5 FM HD2, the Bet Sacramento. And then at 4 o'clock, the tournament comes to ESPN 1320. That's 98.5 HD2, your smart speaker, and the free Odyssey app.
Mm.
A basketball galore, but it's not just on Friday. No, excuse me. That is Friday. That is also today. That is also happening today also.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
We have 13 hours of wall-to-wall coverage on Saturday and Sunday right here starting at 9 a.m. So if you're out and about, you're like, oh, man, I got to walk away from the tournament. I got to go out, run out some errands. Get to ESPN 1320 because we're going to have a game on.
Yeah, just like plug in all day.
Yeah. Or maybe you're walking around the store. I do this at Costco or whatever store. I don't know why I singled out Costco.
Yeah.
I'll listen to D-Lo and KC, whatever's going on. I'll throw the earbuds in.
Okay.
I don't love being that guy, but I'm also very cognizant of when there's people near me, I take a headphone out in case somebody needs to get my attention.
Sometimes I'll do one earbud.
Maybe I'll just start doing that.
Yeah. So it's usually
that's probably the
my right ear.
Okay.
And then I'm listening with the other, with the left.
That's probably smart. And if I go in, let me be clear. I do this like with courtesy. If I walk into Trader Joe's, I shop at Trader Joe's a lot. If I walk into Trader Joe's and it's packed, which happens sometimes. Sometimes I get there at 5:30 and it's just no headphones. Mm. That's too much happening. Too much going on. Don't want
to
be rude.
See, that's the time where I like to zone out. No, I do. When there's too many people, like I'm still courteous. I'm still nice to people.
Sure,
and, you
sure,
know.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm just worried that I'm going to be in the way and somebody's trying to get my attention. I just don't catch them.
Yeah.
And then I'm the jerk with his headphones in who's not. I don't have enough awareness of my surroundings to do that.
I always feel bad when, you know, you go back to the back of the Costco where, you know, the paper towels and the water is, and you go grab a, you know, big giant thing of water because, mm-hmm. you know, as one does, you buy way too much water.
Why not?
And I don't put my water like underneath the cart because I can't bend over with a giant thing of water mm-hmm. to throw it in the cart. But then I always like either stack it on the front lip of the cart, like catty corner, or I just set it, I've cleared a space and I set it down inside.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I always look around and there's other people that need help. And I'm just looking at like I can't help you.
You got nothing.
I got nothing. Like I did the one water and there's a good chance I'm not going to be able to get out of my cart. Yeah. When
this is going to be a problem later.
I'm literally going to just have to rip the plastic open and start throwing water bottles in the trunk. So the whole trunk is filled with individual water bottles, not a case of water.
Yeah.
Like there's just nothing I can do. And I, like a lot of times you feel bad because people are like, oh, that guy's a jerk. He doesn't want to help me. I'm like, no, I just don't have a back. I don't have a shoulder. Yeah. No, I'm just falling apart.
You need a t-shirt that's like out of order.
Yeah, out of order.
Get you a little sign.
Yeah.
My grandmother used to live in an upstairs apartment. And she would call me up and be like, hey, I got groceries. Can you come help me carry them up? I'm like, yeah, no problem, Grandma. Mm-hmm. One day she goes, hey, I forgot I had a case of water in my car. Can you come get it? It's okay if not. Like, don't want to be. I'm like, I was like, I'm a little busy right now. I can come over later. Not a problem. She doesn't live far. Like, let me finish running these errands and I'll come. She's like, okay, well, if you can't, it's okay. I can just take them out one by one and bring them upstairs. Like, oh my God, no.
48 laps.
Yeah, right. That's crazy. Like, I got you. It's not a problem, Grandma. I will help you do anything. Finishing up our housekeeping before we get to the Kevin Herter stuff. So 13 hours of wall-to-wall coverage of the NCAA men's basketball tournament right here on ESPN 1320 on Saturday and Sunday. So stay tapped in through the weekend. And then, we're not done here, folks.
No one then.
Coming up three, count them, one, to three big watch parties sponsored by Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer. The first one, Thursday, March 28th. Write this down. Everybody get your calendars out. I'll give you a second. Everybody got calendars out? Perfect. All right. 4 p.m., Thursday, March 28th, we have a Sweet 16 watch party with D'Lo, KC, and Jesse. That is at Bar West at 2724 J Street in Midtown. So get on out to Bar West. Enjoy some shooty baskets with D'Lo, KC, and Jesse. If you've never been to one of their events before, one of their shindigs, it's a good time to go.
It is.
A, there's going to be some great basketball on, and B, the vibes are always immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
So get out there to Bar West on Thursday, March 28th at 4 o'clock. And then Saturday, March 30th, just 2 days later, there will be an Elite 8 watch party at 3 o'clock with me and James at Player Sports Pub and Grill at 4060 Sunrise Boulevard in Fair Oaks.
Oh, yeah.
So Thursday, next week. Saturday, next week. And then Monday, the following week, April 8th, we have the National Championship Game Watch Party. That'll be D'Lo, KC, James, and Jesse. That's at Tom's Watch Bar in down in Doco. Tom's Watch Bar, Sacramento, right across from Golden One. Get out there and enjoy a watch party with the entire ESPN 1320 crew. Sans me, because I will be however many miles away England is.
Oh.
I'm not even going to venture a guess. 6,000?
Oh, that's right.
Is it 6,000-ish?
Oh, I forgot. 5,000? That's when you're going to be in England?
Yeah, I'll be in England for that one.
Oh.
Yeah, so I've got an 11:30 p.m. tip-off time for the Natty.
Oh.
I'll be tapped in.
All right.
I won't be at Tom's Watch Bar, but I'll be tapped in.
I like a little Tom's Watch Bar.
Yeah, man. It's a good spot. All right, so make sure to come out and hang with us. We got those three watch parties coming up. Sponsored by Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer. All right, let's talk Kevin Huerter. I mean, we can talk Kevin Huerter, but the talk with Kevin Huerter is that we don't really know anything yet except that he has a shoulder dislocation. He is not on the road trip with the team, so he will not be returning anytime in the next couple of games. So you mentioned at the break that there is a protocol with the NBA that's a little bit convoluted when it comes to reporting injuries. Because I was saying, man, in the NFL, if a guy rolls an ankle and they go, oh yeah, he's got an MRI coming up, don't know anything, got x-rays negative, but we're going to get an MRI, and then the next day they're like, yeah, no, still awaiting some further tests, we got additional tests, right now it's an ankle, that typically is bad news.
Yes. Okay, so we had this injury a couple of years ago where Tyrese Halliburton, right near the end of the season, took a bad step and his knee just went got wobbly, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up, I think it was a hyperextension. He only missed like two or three games.
Mm-hmm.
So, but maybe it was more than that, because we sat there and waited and waited and waited and waited and got like 4 or 5 days in, like, hey, when are we getting the update, right? And the update finally came and it was way late. Okay, so look, at the NBA level, when there's an injury that's potentially, I don't want to say career threatening, but like it could impact the value of a player,
mm-hmm.
right, going forward.
Mm-hmm.
It gets lost in this weird, okay, so first of all, Kevin Huerter has probably seen like three specialists by this point. And that's because like there's multiple specialists where they're at, right? So mm-hmm. that night he likely had an MRI on the night that he got hurt. And then that MRI was taken to like a team and they looked at that. And then there was probably an outside person that mm-hmm. like also looked at the x-rays and looked at the MRI and said, okay, this is, it kind of looks like this, and this, right? Then you mm-hmm. have to wait a day or two for swelling. And then after that, it gets a little more complicated.
Okay.
So someone's going to write a press release on what it is that's going on. It's an mm-hmm. injury update.
Sure.
Sometimes those injury updates can be like a sentence.
Right.
Sometimes they can be like four sentences.
Right.
This is probably going to be more like a four sentence one, where we're trying to figure out how long he's going to be out. What is the time frame? Because that's like realistically when I've gotten angry with the Kings in the past, it's like, look, you know, Rashawn Holmes has a shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, what is it? Is it torn labrum? Is it a grade one, right. two, or three separation? Is it
right.
a dislocation? Did he fray the rotator cuff? Did right. he tear his rotator cuff? Did he, is an AC joint? Did he jam the AC joint? Like, what is it?
Be like, what did you have for dinner? A meal.
Yeah, a meal. Like, exactly. And the Kings wouldn't tell us. And it yeah. went on for like 2 weeks. And then finally it came out that he had a torn labrum.
Sure.
And then he didn't have surgery on the labrum, but he was out like 4 to 6 weeks. The reason why we want that is so we have an idea of what we tell people, like out in the public. People keep asking, like, what is the Kevin Huerter update?
Right.
It's like, we don't just give an update. Like, when I talk about a grade 3 ankle sprain, everybody cringes because I explain that it's a complete sever of the ligament, right? And the ligament has to, like, reattach itself and grow back together, heal, scar tissue, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We move forward, right? We don't know what's going to happen with Kevin's shoulder because when you dislocate a shoulder, you can, again, tear a rotator cuff.
Sure.
You can't. There's all kinds of things that mm-hmm. he could have torn his labrum. He could have done all kinds of damage outside of just the dislocation.
Right. Right.
So if this is, again, Lethal Weapon, they just walk in and they pop his shoulder right back in place and he's ready to go, that's one thing. But this is professional athlete. You need to make
yes.
sure everything else
yes.
is intact, right? So once it gets to the point where the doctors have said, they all confer, this is what's happening, then a press release is written. That press release goes to the front office.
Mm-hmm.
It might go to the business side. It will go to his agent. That press release will get twisted and turned and rewritten and rewritten and rewritten until everyone is comfortable with what's going out. Because...
Oh, God, that sounds awful.
It is awful. Because we have a team who has value in a player that needs to maintain value and wants to make sure that what mm-hmm. they put in that press release says what they want to put.
Mm-hmm.
You have an agent who has the same, can have the same interest, but maybe not. You know, like the interest might not be aligned all the time between
right.
these two.
Right.
So you're looking at long term, you're looking at short term, you're looking at business side, you're looking at how many games are left in the season, you're looking at when an injury report is coming out, whether it's right during your season ticket holder time. There are too many things that go into some of these. And so this one here, it could be that Kevin Huerter will be back next week. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also possible he's done for the year and he might need surgery or whatever. We
have
don't
no
know.
Idea.
We don't know, but just know that it's not going to be just like, you know, how often have you ever seen a press release on a post-surgical thing that said it was an unsuccessful MCL?
Zero thing. Times.
Zero times. It's always successful.
I'm sure it has happened at some point.
100% of the time, it's always successful.
Yeah.
And then when they
Even
have to go back in,
right?
A month and a half later,
because
something, yeah, we had a setback, and they have to go back in, it was because the first one wasn't successful.
Yeah. So, oh, hang on, review.
Wait, review, throw the flag. Well, let's hope that Mike Brown doesn't lose that challenge as well.
Right, so that, oh boy.
Yeah.
So they just want to make sure that they know exactly what the injury is before they go about announcing to the public what the injury is. So right now we know the shoulder was dislocated, but we don't know the extent of the internal damage there.
Oh, yeah.
Or any additional damage. And maybe there's not any, but we'll have that for you whenever it comes out.
Yeah, as soon as it comes out, like, you know, you can follow me on Twitter or we'll if it's while we're on the show, we'll put it out here.
Yeah, and the reason, and here's the other thing too, this is not because we're nosy. This is not because, oh, we wanna know because we wanna know for. No, this is literally so when we have the conversation about Keon Ellis in the starting lineup, we have the context of, oh, he's gonna start the next three nights, or hey, he's gonna finish the season in the starting lineup.
Yeah, or he has a good shot at finishing the season. Whatever, like this is
right.
his opportunity, or it's not. Kevin
right.
Huerter could be back.
What
does
the bench look like?
Not, yeah.
There are so many ramifications of this. Obviously, priority number one to you, James, me, Kyle, and everybody listening, you know, hopefully who has a heart is, hey, hopefully Kevin Huerter's okay.
Yeah.
I just want him to not be in pain and able to play basketball at a high level again as soon as he can because this is his livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he loves to do, and I hope he gets to do it again ASAP. That is the number one thing. But we have a job,
mm-hmm.
and that job is to discuss the team as a whole and Kevin Huerter's injury, how it plays into that. So
yeah, Yeah, I totally agree.
Fingers crossed.
Kyle, this injury specifically has like ripple effects, and the ripple effects could last for a while. Mm-hmm. Like there is, whether Kevin Huerter is available to be traded this offseason,
mm-hmm.
which is something like we kind of table for right now. Yeah. But it also, it's like the door that it opened for Keon Ellis. Can Keon Ellis not only show that he can hold on to a position for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it is that's left in the season mm-hmm. We're about three and a half weeks left in the season. But then on top of that, the playoffs, right? So mm-hmm. we don't know, right? This is a great time for him to prove that not only is he a ball player, but he might be your starting shooting guard for next season. So that's a big deal. On top of that, we have this other angle with Chris Duarte. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Chris Duarte is getting another opportunity.
Yeah.
And how often have we talked about, hey, it's one thing to go out and get a defensive player, but if that defensive player is Davion Mitchell and he's playing behind De'Aaron Fox, who plays between 36 to 38 minutes a mm-hmm. game, and in the playoffs will play at least that, maybe 40 plus. Like, how much of an impact can a defensive player have if he's playing 8 minutes a game or 12 minutes a game?
Exactly.
That's not much.
And how much of an impact, to speaking to Davion specifically, how much of an impact can he have if he's a net negative because of offense?
Yeah. So now what we get to see now is for Mike Brown has two defensive-minded players in Chris Duarte and Keon Ellis. How does that look? How does that change the trajectory of this team? How does that look in this offseason? If these guys work with those four mm-hmm. other starters, like, do you go get a better version of that? Do you stick with these guys? Like, there's so many layers to what this specific injury means.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, hey, I think it just opened a door for Sasha Vezinkov to come back. He's questionable again tonight, but there's a good chance he plays.
I think he's playing.
The Kings need that other scorer off the bench. Now, if you have two defensive-minded guys in Duarte and Ellis, of course, Duarte can score as well. Ellis can score as well. But now it might be okay to have an offensive-minded guy that steps onto the court and just starts heaving threes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there are so many layers to this and the impact, plus the offseason, plus free agency, and like all of these other things that play into why we may or may not get an answer on Kevin Huerter's injury for a day or two.
It is fascinating.
Isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Man. And there are just so many, there are so many fun like hypotheticals that spin off of this, right? Like if the Kings finish the season scorching hot, but Kevin Huerter is ready to go for round one, where does he fit in the rotation?
Yeah.
I doubt how many games are left? 68-14. The Kings go 11-3 over their final 14 to going into the postseason, playing their best basketball. Like, very obviously, Kevin Huerter's not going back in the starting lineup.
Well, yeah, just
for the playoffs.
I mean, if somehow Keon Ellis goes 21-0 as a starter,
whatever it is,
he ain't ever coming out of the starting lineup ever again.
Nope.
It's over.
So now there's, like you said, there's a lot of long-term ripple effects here. Both into the offseason and into next season, but then just in the playoffs. Like, man, yeah, hey, Kevin Huerter's going to be back in 3 weeks. All right, Kings go 11-3 over their final 14. Kevin Huerter's ready to go for that first-round playoff series. It's like, got to come off the bench, and you got to fit him into a rotation and hope that he responds well to that. It just, man.
It's reality. Now, if he's back next week, all this changes.
Right.
This whole conversation changes.
It's dramatically different. And he might be back next week.
They pop it back in.
We literally have no idea.
And there's no structural damage, and it was a one-time thing, and it was just like the way that he got hit, it didn't stretch any tendons, it didn't open up, cause any additional damage. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, intriguing.
Dave Garcia in the chatty house said, if one player injures another player, that player should sit out until the injured player returns. That opens a can of worms that nobody wants, I promise. You want game one of the Western Conference first round, Kings Thunder, Domas goes barreling in to pick a random Thunder player who's not a starter. That guy goes, oh, my chest. I can't. Oh, I'm out. I'm out for the series. And now Domas is out for the series?
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's not going to happen. On, well, that, and I mean, if Desmond Bain suspended until Kevin Herter came back, they literally would have to go out, search 2K for a player name, a fake player name that was made up, and then find that player and bring him in.
Yes.
They signed two other dudes.
They're going to pick a guy from whoever loses the Duquesne BYU matchup. They're going to pick a guy from the losing team and he's going to play.
Well, I mean, there's some 30-year-old veterans on that BYU team.
Stop. Hey, did you see, speaking of the Grizzlies being injured, did you see Taylor Jenkins almost get hurt last night?
Yeah.
He might have gotten hurt last night.
I know. He was down.
That was, of course.
Did he flop, though?
He might have flopped.
Because it was Draymond? Did he flop?
I was shocked because I wasn't super tapped into the game. That was a on the computer while I was doing other stuff game. And I just looked back in time to see the scuffle at midcourt. And I'm going, and I see Draymond getting pulled away, and I'm like, oh boy. Like, there's our 2-hour show tomorrow.
Okay, but what? Okay, so we're going to have to, so many players left the bench. And does that reach the level of a scuffle?
I don't think it does.
That's the questionable thing. You can't leave the bench. And I saw dudes just wandering around. Like, what are you doing?
It was so stupid. It was so, so weird because I think there was a timeout called.
You're not allowed to leave the bench area. Pajemski's out there, and then some other dude walks up, and
the Grizzlies have six dudes. They were all out there.
Oh yeah,
I have no idea how that gets litigated because it was just there were no flagrants. It was just a T on Draymond and Desmond Bane, and they played on.
That was wild.
Just a weird. But when I saw that, I was like, oh boy, here we go. But I didn't think it was anything egregious. Just a good old fashioned. These two teams don't like each other.
Yeah.
I was kind of here for it. It was really nice.
The three people that have ever played for the team don't like the 12 other dudes?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
I was expecting something egregious.
Mm.
I didn't think there was. All right. Very good. And I couldn't tell either if, because I wasn't locked into the game enough to have a take on this, but I couldn't tell if it was chippy because of the physicality of the game, like we talked about yesterday, mm-hmm. or if it's just there's enough players from both of these teams who have been in a playoff series together and have talked a bunch of trash over the last couple of years, and that was just kind of the result of this.
Yeah, I think a little bit of residual. They just seem to like each other, and mm-hmm. Sandy Aldama would did not like what was happening. I mean, at one point, Draymond grabbed him by the scruff of his
yeah. He just and gave him don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't think it was bad.
In the context of
things Draymond can do after a basket, it was very 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 below the bar that he has set.
Yes. Yeah. It is.
Nobody
standard.
Was kicked. Punched. No assaults were committed.
Yeah.
Nobody was choked.
I'm just saying,
is gross.
It's very possible that, if Trey Lyles does that, he gets a one-game suspension, but they're
stop.
We've reached the level of...
No.
that's... With Draymond, that's
If he had shoved him or punched and then grabbed it...
I know.
I didn't think it was... I didn't think it was... I was expecting something egregious, though.
That's right.
I didn't get it. We will take a look around the NBA. We'll talk Kings, Wizards. That's the team. And then, Dodgers' new super expensive starting pitcher did not get off to a great start.
No.
Tough scene. But LA still almost won anyway. We'll discuss that a little bit too, coming up on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.